I don't. You've all been to the stadium and seen the athletes race. Everyone runs, one wins, run to win. All good athletes train hard. They do it for a gold medal that tarnishes and fades. You're after one that's gold eternally, though. I don't know about you, but I'm running hard for the finish line. I'm giving it everything I've got. No sloppy living for me. I'm staying alert and in top condition. I'm not going to get caught napping, telling everyone else about all of it, and then missing out myself.
And our response is in the bulletin. The inspired word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. And thank you, Marie. I have one sister. Her name is Kim. I'm hoping that next week you'll actually get to meet her. She'll be coming into town from New Hampshire. When we were, she's a year older than me. She'll try to say she's younger, just so you know. She's older, just so you know. We were 10 and 11 years old, and that year for Christmas, we asked for games for Christmas. Everybody that said, what do you want for Christmas, we told them games. And I got to tell you, that year, we got the mother load. We got 11 games total. I know. It was the best Christmas ever, really, as a kid. Some of the games that we got were Monopoly, of course, Risk, Masterpiece. You remember Masterpiece? Some folks, that was kind of a cool game. Clue, The Game of Life, Yahtzee, and many more. All told, 11 games. I mean, it was the best Christmas break ever. Our friends came over. We were the house to be at because all we did was play games the entire Christmas break. All those new, exciting things. One of our favorites was The Game of Life. Actually, the other favorite was Masterpiece. That was a really cool game. I haven't seen that in a long time. And we really enjoyed driving the little cars around the board, adding family members as we went. I have a little shadow box at home, and I thought I had one car, but as I looked in the shadow box, I discovered I had three of those original cars sitting in my shadow box. So kind of fun, the old design. There you can see it. That's kind of how that old board looked and those old cars and those old pegs. The Game of Life that we received in 1960, or was the 1960 version, it wasn't in 1960. It was later than that. I wasn't even born in 1960, so. But the original version, the 1960 version, was actually an updated version of the 1860 version 100 years earlier, which was called the Checkered Game of Life. And there's a picture of it. And Milton Bradley actually took a checkers board and then added things to it, and you sort of worked your way around the checkers board and doing the different things, you know, just lots of different things on there about life. And as you can see from the picture, it's evolved quite a bit from its original. The Checkered Game of Life, by the way, was one of the most popular games in the late 1800s and the late 1900s, and it was considered a parlor game. Now, do you remember the whole parlor of the late 1800s and 1900s? If you've heard about it, I know you guys are all younger than that too. That was a long time ago. but they sat in the parlor. They didn't have TV, they didn't have cell phones, they didn't have any electronics. Probably didn't even have much electricity, and even didn't have radio yet. And so they had to make their own fun. So they played parlor games, they acted out skits, sang songs, played music, and this became one of the parlor games that really attracted friends to come together. The 1960 version, which is the one that my sister and I received, was then updated again in 1991 and then again in 2007. And so what you see before you is the 2007 version. My parents gave it to our kids for Christmas one year. And yet, in that time, the game is virtually the same, with just some modern graphics and some modern words added. And so you start out with the spinner at the beginning with your car and your person in the car. And before you even spin the first time, before you even do anything, you have to decide, are you going to go to college or are you going to get a job? Right? That's the very first thing you do. So we assume that that the game starts, high school has been finished, and then we're going on to the next step. And so to choose college requires that you have to take out student loans, and there's sort of this little debt thing that's worked into the game. And then when you finish college, then you get one of the professional jobs that you go to college for. Or a player may choose to get a job. And the jobs, these are jobs that don't require much education, according to the game. And then there are less to choose from, and the pay is less than the college jobs. True to its kind of 1960s origin, the game follows a pretty traditional path from start to finish. College or job, school loans or scholarships, paychecks, and getting married. In the game of life, every player has to stop. It says stop. See on the picture up there, it says stop, get married. Everybody has to get married. That's the game of life. Everybody has to get married. Now, we know that the real game of life, you don't have to get married. You can choose not to get married, and that's very much okay. So like it or not, in the game of life, you get married. And when this happens, then you add a spouse to your car, and play continues around the board, and the fun begins. Here's some random squares. You know, there's a boat, get a life tile, baby girl, get a life tile, win Ultimate Idol for $100,000. So you get money, you collect money around, and you collect life tiles. Every time it says life, you get a tile. Those are worth money in the end. And kind of the object of the game of life, this is what it says in the directions, collect money and life tiles and have the highest dollar amount at the end of the game. Right? That's the object of the game. Collect tiles, get money. Does that sound a little bit like real life? Isn't that kind of what we do? We try to get a little bit better job, try to end up retiring with something that helps us live a decent life when we're done. And that's kind of how it goes with board games, with any kinds of games. Unfortunately, one person wins, like our scripture says, and everybody else doesn't. And really, everybody else loses, because that's how games work. One person wins, and the rest lose. And so kind of an interesting thing, that's about games. How important, though, is it to have someone win and someone lose? And how important is it really in life to get all the money that you can? In the game of life, there are some choices, but really not that many. In real life, we have some real choices to make. In real life, our choices have consequences. On the game of life, the consequence for not doing very well in the game is not winning. You put the game back in the box and you go on with your life. But in real life, the consequences that we deal with have real significant consequences. The choices we make have significant consequences. Of course, we all kind of like to have positive consequences versus negative consequences, right? That's how we're wired. We hope things turn out well with the decisions that we make in life. For adults in this room, so kids, you can tune out for just a minute, but then you got to come back in. Let's talk a little bit about the game of life and the choice of going to school or getting a job. Not really very different from our culture. In fact, if we have high school kids, we're talking about college visits and what's going to happen after high school and what's that last year of high school going to be like. And honestly, our young people are bombarded with those questions. You know, what are you doing next year? Are you going to college? And we sort of force that decision on our young people. And yet, not all young people go to college. But so many do that those that don't actually probably feel a little inept on that whole thing. So think about, adults, the choices that you have made. Your choice to go to college or to get a job, or your choice to stay home and be a full-time parent and work out of the home as a parent or just be a parent. How has that turned out for you? Now, you don't have to answer because that's kind of a personal thing. Then there's those that choose to pursue an advanced career because we live in a society where advanced careers help us, or advanced degrees help us go farther in our jobs. In fact, that's what I'm doing. I'm still in seminary and working on an advanced degree. How have you done with your choices? Are you okay with those choices? In life, there are these decisions that we make, getting married, having children, changing jobs, and moving. And those are all tough decisions. Those are all choices that we make that have a lasting impact. And you probably realized in life that when you say yes to one thing, you're saying no to another. And with it, there are consequences. And sometimes when you say yes, it's a wonderful yes, but it's a sad no. We leave behind things that that leave us being sad because we can't have it both ways. We have to make a decision and we have to go with it. Whatever choices we make in life, it will require that we're intentional with those decisions in order for it to work out the way we hoped. We sort of have to have some planning in life. We can't just randomly go around the board and let life happen to us. Sometimes we'd like to do that. We'd like to not have to make the adult decisions, but ultimately we do have to do that. 10 years ago, Dale and I made the decision to drastically alter our path in life. I accepted a call into pastoral ministry, and it truly is a call because God kept putting it on my heart, and I'm standing before you because God continued to call me. And in accepting that call, I was appointed to my first church, which was the associate pastor at the Coralville United Methodist Church. It was no easy task going from 16 years of teaching to pastoral ministry and sort of being in control a little bit of my decisions with teaching and letting the bishop decide my path. My position at the Coralville Church started in September of 2006. Now, if you're a parent, you know that school has already started, right? At the end of September. And so our kids already started school. And we were living in Mason City, and we were living in our forever house. Anybody know what a forever house is? Right. The one that you imagine growing old in, the one that you imagine grandkids coming back to. That was our house. We loved that house. And we had made, you know, sort of envisioned what the future would look like in that house when kids would come back with their kids. And yet we moved. And the kids and I initially moved to Coralville, and we moved into the parsonage there. And Dale continued to live and work in Mason City for another 3.5 months. It was a hard thing for us. There were many challenges of living apart. There was the challenge of selling our house in Mason City, and there was the challenge that came with this new ministry as my first appointment in a church. And yet, we persevered. We persevered by the grace of God, and we persevered because of the power of prayer. There's no other reason, because it was daunting from start to finish. And every day was like this passage in today's scripture reading. I'm going to read again, 26 and 27. I don't know about you, but I'm running hard to the finish line. I'm giving it everything I've got. No sloppy living for me. I'm staying alert and in top condition. I'm not going to get caught napping, telling everyone else all about it, and then missing out on it myself. Dale and I gave it everything we had. To integrate our kids into a new school and new community, to integrate into the ministry of this new church, and to follow God's call, not only on my life as pastor, but on our family in this new life of ministry as a family. I stayed faithful to God's call and put it on my heart and worked hard every day, praying hard every day. And the details of it all kept working out because honestly, we had a 6-week turnaround from the time that they said, we want you here. 6 weeks, and there was a lot of details to work out. In the everyday living of real life, we're called to give up certain things. We're called to give up things in order to achieve the goals that we set for our lives, to achieve the goals and the things that God puts on our hearts, the goals that God has for us. Without micromanaging our lives, God puts these things on our hearts and then nudges us in a certain direction in ministry. In the game of the Siler life, we had a major move. We gave up our forever house. We gave up day-to-day friendships and neighbors that had sustained us for many years. And for those of you that are grandparents, we did the unthinkable. We moved the grandkids away from the grandparents. Those with young kids, if you've done that, you know what that's all about. It's tough for them. But it was also tough for us because we also gave up our support system. My parents were wonderful at helping Dale and I parent our kids. Life brings with it sacrifices of many different kinds. But ultimately, God calls us to sacrifice enough to follow Jesus Christ. When we do this, there are rewards beyond all our imagination. And the biggest reward is eternal life. In our scripture reading again today, it says, "You've all been to the stadium and seen the athletes. Everyone runs, one wins. Run to win. All good athletes train hard. They do it for a gold medal that tarnishes and fades. You're after one that's gold eternally." It's Olympic time, right? Friday night, the opening games, the Rio Olympics are on. And only a select number of athletes are actually in Rio from around the world to compete. But God has a medal for all of us. And that medal is eternal life. And all we have to do is say, "I'm in, I'll participate. I'm going to do this race with you, God." But before eternity, because that's an eternal kind of reward after this life is done, there's a lot of work to be done. We have the game of life to live. We have choices to make. We have jobs and school to do. We have family to connect with, friends to make. And the goal of eternity has nothing at all to do with getting more money and having the most at the end of our lives. The goal of eternity is not the goal of the game of life. But it has everything to do with trusting in the Lord. It has everything to do with joining Christ in the ministry of our lives and letting Christ walk with us in all of our stages in life. Even before there was a twinkle in our parents' eyes, we were all a twinkle in God's eyes. All the money and fame means nothing unless the lives that we lead have value in the Lord and have value in the relationships we build with the people around us. In the 2007 version of the Game of Life, life tiles were added, and the life tiles are given for doing good deeds, and then they're worth money at the end of the game. If you think of your life as doing the life tiles, doing the things that have meaning, we will be like the Apostle Paul, who at the end of his life said in 2 Timothy, this may be a familiar passage for you, "I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only me, but also all who have longed for his appearing." My friends, we are all chosen to do life with God. We're all chosen to be a part of Christ's body. When you come to the end of your game of life, I pray that you will receive the reward in heaven that Christ promises. How are you living your life today? Are you living for Christ? Are you living with intention? Are you living without intention? Try living with Christ at the forefront. Try putting Christ at the beginning of your day, with prayer and with scripture reading and joining together in study with others, because the rest of life will fall into place. Not because Christ has this big insurance policy for you in your game of life, but because Christ promises eternal life, and Christ promises to walk every step with us, even during the tough times. Let us pray. Holy and loving Lord, this game of life is a tough one. It's not a gentle work around a board, but it's work each day, connecting with you and connecting with one another. Be with us, Lord, in this life and in the next. Amen.